بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه وتحلى بصفاته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك الفوز العظيم صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders, brothers, mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, in today's lesson we will be discussing our aqaid pertaining to the noble companions, the trusted ministers, the vicegerents of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the illustrious sahaba radiyallahu anhum. And in today's climate where we find there is a worldwide attack upon the integrity, the honor, the character of the sahaba radiyallahu anhum, a concerted effort is being made to distance the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the sahaba radiyallahu anhum. When we will lose trust upon the sahaba, then a hadith will become diluted. When hadith is diluted, then the meanings of Quran will be diluted. When the meaning of Quran is diluted, then our entire deen will be diluted. So it is important for us to understand what do we believe regarding the sahaba radiyallahu anhum, what position, what status do they hold in the eyes of the ummah and the ahlu sunnah wal jama'ah. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very clear. Inna allaha nadhara fi qulubil ibad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, prior to creating humanity, looked into the hearts of man. Allah had created the heart, and Allah looked into the hearts of man, and He found the most pure and noble heart, and He chose that for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He made him His final Nabi and Messenger. ثُمَّ نَظَرَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْعِبَادِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again looked into the hearts of men, and He found the most pure and clean and noble hearts, and He chose those for the sahaba radiyallahu anhum. فَجَعَلَهُمْ وُزَرَاءَ نَبِيِّهِ. Allah appointed them as the ministers of His Nabi, as His trusted counsel. يُقَاتِلُونَ عَنْ دِينِهِ. Allah gave them the responsibility of defending and protecting the deen of Allah. So in reality, we are completely and totally indebted to the sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Without them, we would not have had the Qur'an with us. We would not have the understanding, the meaning of the Qur'an, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We would not even know how to perform our salah. If a person had to just open the Qur'an and read the Qur'an from cover to cover, he may hear the word salah many times, but he won't even understand how to perform salah, how many rakats to perform, what time to read salah, what postures are required within salah. For this we are reliant on the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and this is transmitted to us by the sahaba radiyallahu anhu. So we are absolutely indebted to them, and we owe everything to them. So, regarding the sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, it is mentioned that after the anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam, these are the most noble and virtuous individuals that Allah has created. And just as we had explained previously, that no person, no matter how great he may be, no matter how pious he may be, can come onto the level of the anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. In the same way, no wali, no friend of Allah can ever come close to the rank of even the lowest sahabi. This was a position chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and given to them, awarded to them. So firstly, who is a sahabi? What makes a sahabi? So he mentions here that whichever Muslim has seen Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and passed away as a Muslim is referred to as a sahabi. A person who during his life in a wakeful state saw Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, even if he may not have spent much time in his company. He may have just been there. Many delegations would come to Madinah Munawwara and they would accept Islam. They would pledge allegiance to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, spend a few days and then go back. And perhaps that was the one and only time they had seen Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And thereafter a person passed away on Iman, then he is regarded as a sahabi. So as long as he saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously a person sees Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his dream, then this does not qualify him to become a sahabi. This has to be in a wakeful state. Likewise, if a person saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam during his lifetime, but he left this world without iman, like many of the mushrikeen, the Quraysh of Makkah, then they also, of course, will not be known as sahaba, or the person will not be called a sahabi. But that person who saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in a wakeful state, he had iman at that time, and then he left this world with iman, then this is called a sahabi. And regarding them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very explicitly mentions in the Quran, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu, that Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah. So regarding the sahaba radiyallahu anhum, one is their virtue, their rank, their integrity. Together with this, my dear brothers, we have to understand that apart from the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, no other human being was infallible. Our belief is regarding ismatul Anbiya, we mentioned this before, that every Nabi of Allah was divinely protected from error, from sin, from making any mistake. But apart from the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam, no other human being is infallible. Even the greatest of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, we do not attach infallibility to them, isma. We do not say that they were free of any error, any mistake. Yes, at times they were able to make mistakes or commit errors. However, our aqidah, our belief regarding this is that if they did commit an error, then number one, they would not persist upon this. Lam yusirru. They would not persist upon this sin. And together with that, they would immediately make tawbah, and their tawbah was accepted by Allah. The famous incident is mentioned regarding Imra'a Ghamidiyya, that woman, Ghamidiyya woman, who had committed zina, very lengthy narration. She was a sahabiyya, she lived in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and such a major sin like zina, she comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, she confesses, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam sends her back, she comes again and confesses, four times this happens. Eventually Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passes the judgment, that the capital punishment will have to be meted out to her. She was expecting, Nabi alayhi salam delayed the punishment until the birth of the child. Then he further delayed it until the child was able to eat on its own. Eventually the time came, the punishment had to be meted out. This is the command of Allah. And during the course of meting out this punishment, somebody remarked, Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu ghaliban, he remarked that as the punishment was being meted out, he passed a remark that was a negative remark. He insulted this sahabiya or this person. When he did this, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam immediately stopped him. And he told him, O Umar, لَقَدْ تَابَتْ تَوْبَةً, that she has made such a tawbah, لَوْ قُسِمَتْ بَيْنَ سَبْعِينَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْمَدِينَةِ, if this tawbah had to be distributed amongst 70 of the inhabitants of Medina Munawwara, لَوَسِعَتْهُمْ, it would be sufficient for all of them. So despite her committing this crime, this error, this mistake, but such a tawbah she made, immediately she became the beloved of Allah once again. So the stamp of approval has been given in the Quran. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. The verse I recited in the beginning, وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ, Allah has already prepared for them jannat, gardens of paradise. This has been secured and guaranteed for them. So despite us at times perhaps reading through some ahadith and coming across incidents where the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum perhaps did something that was incorrect, that was a sinful act in our eyes, but understand that they definitely made tawbah, and this tawbah was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wisdom behind Allah allowing them to commit sins, or rather to make errors, was as ta'aleem, for us to learn. If this never happened in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then we would not have seen how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam dealt with it. We would not have understood the concept of tawbah, the concept of a person reforming himself. But we have all of this because of the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So that is the first thing, is that they are not infallible. However, they did not persist upon sin, and definitely they made tawbah, their tawbah was accepted. Regarding the ranks of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, then our aqidah, our belief is that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the most virtuous, the greatest of all the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and he was undoubtedly the chosen successor, the first Khalifa after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here we find there are many misguided groups who pass negative comments regarding Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They try to strip him of his position of Khilafah, and they say that this was not explicitly mentioned by Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. And inshallah we will discuss the different ways of appointing a Khalifa. But we find that in various ahadith, and many, many incidents in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, where he very clearly indicated to who his successor would be. Although it may not have been mentioned explicitly that Abu Bakr will be my Khalifa after me, but this was very, very clearly alluded to by Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. On one occasion, a woman had come, and she had posed a question to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam about some matter. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told her to come back at a later time. So she said, O Nabi of Allah, what happens if I come and I do not find you? In other words, if you had passed away at this point. So immediately Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says to her, Fa'ti Aba Bakrin. If you come and I am not here, go to Abu Bakr. In other words, he is my second in command. He is my right hand man. So you go to him if I am not here. Likewise, we find the hadith where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in his final illness, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma is the narrator. He mentions Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emerged from his home. He was suffering from a headache. He had tied a piece of cloth around his head. And he ascended the minbar. He praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he mentioned that I have not found anybody who has offered me so much of assistance, so much of help, besides Abu Bakr bin Abi Quhafa. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, this was the person who gave me the most amount of support, assistance, help during my nubuwat, during my mission. And then he said, لَوْ اتَّخَذْتُ خَلِيلًا, that if I had to take anybody as a bosom friend, khalil, actually this word in Arabic means one person who I will rely upon and trust for all my matters. If I had to choose any human being as my khalil, in other words, if I did not rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I had to choose a human being as my support, or one who I can rely upon, trust for all my matters, then لَتَّخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا. I would have taken Abu Bakr as my khalil. And then he instructed, at that time in Masjid al-Nabawi, as we have our masjid here, so on the side of the masjid were the rooms and the houses belonging to different people, and they would have doors on the external side leading out, and they would also have doors leading to the inside of the masjid to make it easier access for them to the masjid. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam at this point commanded that now close all of these openings into the masjid except the opening of Abu Bakr. For him, give him direct access to the masjid from his home. So like this, we find many, many statements or actions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that indicated to his khilafat. During the final illness of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had appointed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to lead the salah in his absence. And this was perhaps the greatest stamp of approval, that you will be my replacement. In fact, it is mentioned in riwayat, Aisha radiallahu anha tried to dissuade Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that why don't you put somebody else on the musalla? My father is soft-hearted and he may break down. He may not be able to stand in your place, so put somebody else. And Aisha radiallahu anha mentions also that while I said this to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but my intention was not that my father is soft-hearted, but I feared that if he had to take over the imamat from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and thereafter Nabi alayhi salam had to pass away, then people would have taken that as an evil omen, that you took over and now he passed away. And people would not have followed my father thereafter. So I tried to dissuade Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, يَأْبَ اللَّهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَّا أَبَا بَكْرٍ. Allah refuses and the believers refuse anyone but Abu Bakr to lead them. So we find incident upon incident, statement upon statement, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had indirectly appointed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as his successor. With regard to appointing a khalifa, then ulama have explained that there are different ways in which a khalifa can be appointed. One is where there is some indication, but after the demise of the previous leader, then the next or the people thereafter, through consensus of opinion, will all agree on one person to be their leader. We find after the demise of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, bay'ah, pledge of allegiance, was taken to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and this was done by all the sahaba radiallahu anhum. Yes, some of them may have delayed in doing this, but eventually each and every one of them pledged their allegiance to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that you will be the rightful khalifa after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was about to pass away, then he directly appointed Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. So again, this is to teach us that this is a different method of appointing a khalifa. I will not leave it to the people after me. But if you have taken me as your leader, you accept my decision is Umar bin Khattab will be the leader after me. Umar radiallahu anhu ruled for a lengthy period of time, and he then showed us the third method. Before he passed away, he appointed a council, a shura council of six people, six high-ranking sahaba, and he said that they will now choose the next person after me. And they then chose Uthman radiallahu anhu. Afterwards was Ali radiallahu anhu. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned that after my demise, khilafah will be for 30 years. And after 30 years, ثُمَّ تَكُونُ مُلْكًا. then it will be kingdom. Leadership, as we find in the world today, which will not necessarily operate on the principles of khilafah. And when we count the khilafat of these four khulafa, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali radiallahu anhum, we find this comes to exactly 30 years. Thereafter was the era of those who came after, and there was a lot of infighting or difference of opinion that had taken place amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Regarding this, and that is the next discussion, we have heard the incident of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and his difference of opinion with Ali radiallahu anhu. And generally, we prefer not to discuss these incidents, but this is something that we may read, we may come across, and we find on social media, those who are enemies of Islam will highlight these differences of opinion. And they will try to paint certain Sahaba in a negative light. Ulama have explained very clearly that what should be our outlook when reading of these incidents, that a person should simply understand it to be like a fight between his two parents. A person's mother and father who are disagreeing over something, then while we may see one person being on the right, but it will never cause us to lose respect for either one of them. We'll maintain respect, maintain their integrity, their honor. We'll prefer to walk away from there, allow them to have it out between themselves. On their level, they are allowed to have difference of opinion. But we will not allow ourselves to be dragged into that. Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, amazing response that he gave to a person. Somebody tried to start this, so they came to him, Abdullah bin Mubarak, somebody had come to him, a very pious person, and they asked him that, "Oh Abdullah, tell us, is Muawiyah better, radiallahu anhu, or is Umar bin Abdul Aziz better?" Umar bin Abdul Aziz was one of the rightful rulers who had come thereafter. In fact, he was known as Umar al-Thani, the second Umar. That's what a high-ranking person. He was a very, very just leader and ruler of the Muslims. And he's well known for his piety and his generosity and his trustworthiness. So somebody asked Abdullah bin Mubarak, that is Muawiyah better or is Umar bin Abdul Aziz better? Look at the response Abdullah bin Mubarak gives. He says, لَتُرَابٌ The dust particles fi minkhari Muawiyah that settled in the nostril of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, those dust particles are more virtuous than Umar bin Abdul Aziz himself. Because they saw Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. They were in his companionship. They have that seal of approval radiallahu anhum wa radu anhu. So the discussion doesn't even come about. These were Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So respectfully we understand there was difference of opinion, as there will always be difference of opinion. As we mentioned, they were not infallible. They were also human beings. They made ijtihadi errors. They exercised their judgment. And they had the best interests of deen and Islam at heart. It was never something personal. It was never out of trying to further their own motives. But they wanted what was best for deen. And Allah allowed this to take place. This is Allah's decision. But we should never ever question this. One of the pious predecessors had mentioned, when speaking about these differences of opinion, the battle that had taken place between Muawiyah and Ali radiallahu anhuma, great sahaba on both sides, so he mentions, هَذِهِ دَمٌ قَطَّهَّرَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ أَيْدِينَا That this was blood that Allah kept our hands free of. We were not there, we did not live to see that time. So if Allah kept our hands clean, فَلَا نُلَوِّثُ بِهِ أَلْسِنَتَنَا Why should we now dirty our tongues and speak about it? We respect them, we love them, we revere them, we honor them, and we will not get drawn into who was right, who was wrong. Yes, ulama discussed that, ultimately who made the right decision, who made the wrong decision. But for us, we should never ever lose our respect for these Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So this is regarding the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Every one of them was noble, was virtuous, despite not being infallible. A person should possess love, entertain good thoughts regarding all of them. Together with them, we have the Azwaj Mutahharat, the noble wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. 11 wives that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had at different periods of time in his life. And we know a bit about each and every one of them. Khadija radiallahu anha, a great support for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the early days of Islam. To this extent, Aisha radiallahu anha would say that I was not jealous over anybody as much as I was over Khadija. I did not envy anyone as much as I envied her, because of how Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would speak about her and remember her. And I would even say to him that you're remembering that old woman. Aisha radiallahu anha was much younger, Khadija radiallahu anha older than Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. That why are you thinking about that old woman? we are your wives who are here. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would say that she supported me when there was no one to support me. She assisted me with her wealth, with her time, with her love, with her comfort. So that was Khadija radiallahu anha. We have the other Azwaj Mutahharat. Aisha radiallahu anha is famous, well known. Her purity and innocence is spoken about in the Quran. There's no time to go into the details. The entire incident of Ifk, that slander, where they had accused her of fornication. Allah mentions, لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ. That don't think that the occurrence of this slander was something bad. بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. It was actually in favor of Aisha radiallahu anha. Why? Because now her innocence was declared in the Quran. If this entire slander did not take place, then her innocence would not have been openly declared in the Quran. But we find those verses where Allah speaks about her being pure, being chaste, and not being involved in any sin, any disobedience. And you have Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha. She was married to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Her nikah was performed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Again, very lengthy incident. There's no time to go into it. But she would boast to the other Azwaj Mutahharat. She would say that your wali, your guardians have performed your nikahs to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Zawwajakunna ahali kunna. Your family members, your guardians have gotten you married. But as far as my nikah is concerned, then Allah performed my nikah in the seventh heaven. My nikah was performed to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So all the Azwaj Mutahharat, the noble wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, these were also chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, the wisdom behind this is that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not have these Azwaj Mutahharat, then we would have known his public affairs, but what took place behind closed doors, we would not have known. His conduct with his wives, his mannerisms, the etiquettes when going to bed, when awakening in the morning, his conduct with his family members, this would not have been revealed to us. But because of these Azwaj Mutahharat, we have the entire life and the entire blueprint of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that has been given to us. So this is with regard to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Azwaj Mutahharat. Just one final point, my dear brothers, before we terminate, and this is something that is related to today's time. This perhaps doesn't deal directly with our aqaid, but it is something very, very important. We find in today's time, we are all well aware of what is going on in Gaza and the turmoil and the conflict, and we should not forget them in our du'as. And we are also well aware that politically there are certain nations that are seen to be assisting the Muslims of Gaza very strongly. And there are those nations that are seen not to be lending a helping hand. And we will not get into the politics of the entire situation. But we find that people have taken advantage, and now in today's time we find where there are pro-Iranian posts that are going around on social media. Many of us may have seen them, which is attempting to paint the Sunni and the Shia as a united force. When it comes to political movements, as I said, we are not going to get into that, but we are all well aware of the murky and at times very dirty world of politics. And in South Africa, we know this better than everybody else, that things are not always as it seems. So regardless of political assistance, but we should be very, very clear that the haters of Sahaba can never, ever be our allies in deen. Political assistance, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made pacts with the Jews of Madinah Munawwara. They were Jews. They had not even, didn't even have iman within them. They didn't even claim to be Muslims. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam entered into pacts with them, treaties with them, for the benefit of Islam. So politically, for us to take assistance, or for the Muslims, the Ahlul Sunnah to take assistance, that is something, that decision that they will make. We are not there to comment on it. But religiously, as far as religious unity is concerned, our unity can only be with the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Those who are missing these aqa'id, or who go against these aqa'id, which are proven without any doubt in the Quran and Hadith, then unfortunately this is a sign of not having complete iman. We are not here to pass judgment of kufr or disbelief on anybody or any group, that we leave to the ulama ikram. But suffice to understand this much, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, لا يحب الأنصار إلا مؤمن. Nobody has love for the Ansar except a person with iman. ولا يبغضهم إلا منافق. And no one despises them but a munafiq, a hypocrite. من أحبهم أحبه الله. Those who love them, Allah will love them. مَنْ أَبْغَضَهُمْ أَبْغَضَهُ اللَّهُ. Those who despise them, hate them, curse them, revile them, then Allah will despise those people. So if any person has a belief system that entails disrespect, insult, or not accepting the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, likewise some of the wives of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, then we cannot call this person part of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah or part of the family of Islam. And we will show the necessary respect and decorum or whatever it is, and perhaps have some level of interaction with those people. But just as we will deal with our non-Muslim neighbors or non-Muslim colleagues or whatever else it may be, we will not regard them to be part of the family of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Allah give us tawfiq and correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.